Okay, nice to see everybody. We're on Daf Kuf Tet Zayin today. Kuf Tet Vav rather. Kuf Tet Vav today. 115a, the new Perek, the new Mishnah. Kol Kitvei. Everybody with me? So the Mishnah says Kol Kitvei Hakodesh Masil Tamnei Adleika. Now Kitvei Hakodesh means, you know, Svarim from Tanakh. That person could save it from a fire. Now, the Chiddush was saving from a fire. The Gemara is going to learn. We don't know this yet. The Gemara, or maybe you do know it, the Gemara says later on in Kuf Yud Zayin Mud Beis that when you have a fire, so that you're limited in what you're allowed to save, but Chazal were concerned, and the Gemara brings down in Kuf Yud Zayin Mud Beis, Amarava mitoch shadam bahula mamuno yisharit le'ati l'chabuye. Since a person is very for a tumult, he's into his property, if we give him a green light to save some of the property, he'll get so engrossed in it, he'll forget today's Shabbos and then put out or try to put out some of the fire and do malacha d'oraisa, do malacha from the Torah. So a person is very limited in what one can save on Shabbos. Notwithstanding that, the Mishnah teaches me that some of the items that a person could save are Kitvei HaKodesh. Kitvei HaKodesh, again, we said means either Sfarim from Torah, Nevi'im, or Ketuvim. And there's also another kula that's involved, because when it comes to Kitvei HaKodesh, so Chazal relaxed some of the dinim. In other words, let's say you live in a mavu. You live in a mavu. We haven't come to mavu yet, but Dafyomi people may remember from last time. You live in an alleyway, which is technically a Rishus Yachid on a Deraisa level, but you haven't done Shitufei Mavuot. You haven't done, you know, you joined all the B'nai Mavui into one unit, so you're not allowed to carry there. But for this din, they permitted you to carry the Svarim into the Mavui, or presumably to the Chatzir Sheinimu Revit. To be a Chatzir, you know, we'd also be able to carry things there. So let's see back in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Kol Kitvei HaKodesh Matzino Tamnei Adleika, that you can save Kitvei HaKodesh on Shabbat, Bein Shekorin Behen, Bein Shein Korin Behen. So the Gemara is going to explain, Shekorin Behen means, let's say, like Nevi'im. Like Nevi'im, we read the Haftorah every Shabbat, and so that's Korin Behen. He says, Uvein Shein Korin Behen would be Ketuvim. Ketuvim, we don't lane from Ketuvim on Shabbat. And indeed, there's a Isur Drabanan, which we'll come to see more in the Gemara, that a person is prohibited from studying Ketuvim on Shabbat. I guess it sounds a little strange, but or I'll say it outside, then we'll do it inside. So Chazal teaches that they would give a shir, they would have shirim during Shabbos, so people would hear Divrei Halacha. And Chazal didn't want people reading Ketuvim. Ketuvim were like the hot novel, like I'm reading Sefer Daniel. Ooh, it says like that. So we don't want people reading the Ketuvim on Shabbat. We want them listening to the Shir. So there's an Easter Durbanan to read the Ketuvim on Shabbat. Let's look at the Rashi on that, so we'll be in good shape with it. Bein Shein Korin Behen, everybody with me, you have it, it's around the 10th narrow line in Rashi. Bein Shein Korin Behen, Kon Ketuvim, Rabbeinu Levi Amar, the Fil Yechidim in Korin Behen. He says, not just that we don't lane it in Shul, but even individuals don't read Ketuvim on Shabbat, or shouldn't be. Kidekatani Taima, Shambitu Beta Medrash, Damashchi Liba. In other words, it draws people, and it's like too attractive. He says, "With Shabbat Yudorshin Drasha Lebalei Batim Shasukim B'Malacha Chuyimotachol." On Shabbos, they would have a drasha, especially geared for the Balabatim who are busy working the whole week. He says, "With Tocha Drasha Yumorin Lehen Hilchot Easter Beheter," and they teach him the halachot, and that's important. He says, "V'Tov Lehen Lishmo Milakrot B'Ktuvim." So it's more preferable that they should hear the drasha than to study these ktuvim. So let's see back in the Mishnah. So he says, now the third line in the Mishnah says, the Baka is above. Va'afal pish ketuvim b'chol lashon. So we'll see, it's going to be a question in the Gemara. Does afal pish ketuvim b'chol lashon, does that modify the portion of the Mishnah we just read? That even though these different Sfarim are written in other languages, let's say French or German, I'm still allowed to save them. Is that what the Mishnah means? Or perhaps, Tu'unim Geniza. He says, or perhaps Afal Pi Shekutuvim Lashon is going on the path that they're Tam Geniza. In other words, if they're written in any other language, you can't save them. But it's notwithstanding that fact, you still, they're Chayiv and Geniza. Geniza, respectfully putting it away. So he says here, Umdeima in Korin Behen, why are we not allowed, why would they not read Ketuvim on Shabbat? They Beitul Beit HaMedrash. Because the Beitul Beit HaMedrash, we want people to listen to the Shurim on Shabbat. You know, there's a piece from the Rav on this, which is in the Harei Kedem, and Rav Shechter may have it in his sefer also. The Rav asked the question, why is it that on Purim, right, we lay the Megillah after Kriyas HaTorah, right? On Purim, on the Shpur morning, we do Kriyas HaTorah first, and then we lay in the Megillah. On, now, each one of the Yom Tovim, we, and on each one of the Yom Tovim, we lay in a Megillah, right? On Pesach, we lay in Shir Shirim, on Shavuos, we lay in Rut, and on Sukkot, Kohelet. But there, we do, we're there, B'dafka, we do it before Kriyas HaTorah, right? So why is it one we're doing after Kriyas HaTorah, i.e. the Megillah Esther, and all the other ones we're doing before Kriyas HaTorah? So the Rav explained that, and from what I've read, the Rav was, you know, he gave a tremendous chashivas even for all different minhagim and things like that. But l'chora, you know, left to my own devices, I would think tadir v'shino tadir kodim. The Kriyas HaTorah is more tadir. We should do that first and then do the ketuvim afterwards. And So the Rav explained that on Shabbos and on Yantiv we have this Gezeirah D'Rabbanan, not Tzedek Ketuvim. But the prohibition against Tzedek Ketuvim, the Rav said, runs from Kriyas HaTorah in the morning until Mincha. So in other words, after Kriyas HaTorah and Davening, they would have a drasha, and it would be based on the Kriyas HaTorah. They would do halachot. So from that point in time, they didn't want people studying ketuvim. So we want to do the ketuvim before the prohibition clicks in. So therefore, on Pesach and on Shavuos and Sukkot, we do the Megillah before Kriyas HaTorah because it's ketuvim, and we don't want to run afoul. Now, there's a whole machloka whether this gzeirah is still in force today, but the Rambam does bring it down, la halacha, so that we'll leave it like that. But let's go further in the Gemara.
Can I comment on that, Rabbi? We have a minhag from the Ben Yishchai that we do ketuvim. We, in the afternoons, we would read from the Nevi'im and ketuvim, also Mishnah, but we did.
But at which point do you do it? After Mincha?
In the afternoon. We come after,
but yeah, after Mincha, before Mincha?
It was before Mincha, but I don't know what they did at the time of the Ben Yishchai, but it's
right, fun. Right. Well, if it's before Mincha, then I don't have heterim for you, but if it's after Mincha, then the Rav would say that's permissible after Mincha.
So, you know, if you read, you know, look it up, I just looked up while you were there online, it also says in the afternoon, so I guess they must have done it after Mincha, because it's for the Ben Yishchai, and many do it. I don't know if the Persians
right.
do it.
All right.
But we did the Ketuvim over the course of the year, we would finish the Ketuvim. Yeah. There's also the finishing
the V.
I mean, there's certain sections for each
parsha. Yeah. Yeah.
So
there's a Tosfos. He says there's a Tosfos not elsewhere. Let me see where it comes up. Where he talks about having a haftorah in the ketuvim at mincha, and I think that also relates to that. All right, but let me move on. All right.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Okay. What's up?
Could the Purim story be different also because we've heard the Megillah the night before, whereas Rut Kohelet and Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim may be at the Seder, but Rut and Kohelet, for sure, it's the first time.
Yeah, I don't think that that's an element, frankly. And indeed, the chiv of the Kriyas HaMegillah in the morning is greater than the chiv at night. I don't think that that enters the calculus, to my way of thinking. Okay, let's take a look further in the Gemara. Okay, now the fifth line on Kuf Tet Vav Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, now we're going to learn a machlok between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Let's put the Mishnah in one corner. Like, take the Mishnah, put it aside, and now we'll learn this machlok between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, and then we'll link back up to the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Itmar, Hayu Ketuvim Targum O B'chol Lashon. If the Sfarim, again, we're talking about Sifrei Tanakh, if they were written in Targum, which is the Aramaic translation, he says, O B'chol Lashon, or in any other language. You know, I should mention also, there's a Rashi here on the Mishnah. He talks about the Targum of Yonatan ben Uziel. See, the Mishnah said that Ketuvim B'chol Lashon are Tunim Geniza. According to one shot in the Gemara, they have to put in Geniza if it's written in another language. So some of Farshim want to say it's talking about the Ketuvim. When the Gemara brings down that the Tana Yonatan ben Uziel wrote a Targum on Nevi'im. That's what the Gemara learns. The Gemara Masechet Sukkah brings that down. So some want to say that the problem with Geniza for the different form of written other languages is talking about Ketuvim. But Rashi says, though, that Yonatan ben Uziel, he just translated it orally. Later on, it was written down. In other words, so it could be that, you know, you're not allowed to write it down, anything, a Targum. We'll see further in the Gemara. We'll get to it. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So, Itmar, Hayu Ketuvim Targum O B'chol Lashon, if you have Sifrei Tanakh that are written in Aramaic or any other language, French, German, or anything else, Rav Huna Amar Eimat Silen O'Tan Ne'ad Lika. Rav Huna says, one's not permitted to save it from the fire. So, in other words, I have a chumash, and it's written in English, and the fire is burning. I can't save it on Shabbat, according to Rav Huna. Rav Chista Mar Masilin Tam Nehad Leika. He says, no, I could save it. So the Gemara says, Aliba Deman Damar, Ninu Lekropa and Chuliam Lo Pligi, to Matzilin. Now, there's a Mishnah Masechet Megillah, Daf Chedam and Beit, between the Tanakhama and Rav Shmuel Gamliel. Rav Shmuel Gamliel is the father of Rebbe, about whether you're allowed to write, you know, Sfarim down in translation. Can I write Sfarim down in translation? So the Tanakhama permits it. The Tanakhama says you can have, you know, Sfarim that are written in different languages. And Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, no, you can't write in other languages except for Greek. That he's Matir. He's Matir Greek. Greek Chazal teach us like Yafta Lekim Yafet. Greek is a very beautiful language. And Memela, you're allowed to have a Torah written in Greek. And there's also Tosos. He wants to say that only the Torah, not the other Sifrei Tanakh. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Aliba Daman Damar, Nitnu Lekrot Bahem, Dekuliyam Lo Pligi Damatzilin. Now we assume that the Tana who holds that I can write it down in other languages would also say I could study it in other languages. We assume that that's, and the one who says I can't, presumably I can't study in other languages. So he says, Aliba Daman Damar, Nitnu Lekrot Bahem, Dekuliyam Lo Pligi Damatzilin. So within the Tanakhama in Masechet Megillah, who says that I can translate the Sifrei Tanakh to other languages, so presumably he'd say you could study it, and presumably you would hold that you save it. So that's not what they're arguing about. Ki pligi libet mandamar lodet na lekrot behen. They're having machloket within the Tana of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that you're not allowed to write the Sifrei Tanakh in other languages, so that if a person violated halacha, and he did do that, so presumably he can't, not allowed to study it. So let's say he did do that, and now he has the Sfarim in the house. According to the Tana of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, am I allowed to save those Sfarim or not? That's the issue in the machlok between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Rav Huna mar ein matzilin dehalo nitnu lekrot behen. Huna says you're not allowed to save it because you're not even supposed to be reading it. So it's that we're going to let it unfortunately burn. He says Rav Chista mar matzilin mishum bizayon kitvei hakodesh. Rav Chista says inachinami it's not great and you shouldn't be reading it, but it's such a bizayon, such a disgrace for Kitvei HaKodesh. Let it burn, you're allowed to save it. Okay, let's just go on and review what we just learned, okay? Let me just repeat, and then we'll see if we have any questions. So we have machloka between Rav Huna and Rav Chista about if I have one of the Sifrei Tanakh. We learned in the Mishnah that I'm allowed to save Sifrei Tanakh on Shabbat from a dleika, from a fire. So even though Chazal very much limited me what property I could save from a fire. We'll see you're allowed to save a certain amount of food, but they didn't want people saving property because since a person is so bahula mamono, he's so like intense about his property, if we let him save more property, he'll forget today's Shabbos and put out the fire and be Michal Shabbos on a Torah level. So we're not allowed to save very much, but they said for Kitvei Kodesh that you're allowed to save. But then the Gemara is introducing us to what if the Kitvei HaKodesh are written in other languages? So according to one Tana, the Tanakhama and Megillah and Daf Chet, you're allowed to do that. So fine, he would say you're allowed to save it. But according to Rav Shmuel Gamliel, you're not allowed to write it. And presumably you're not allowed to study it. So you're allowed to save it. So it's machlok between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Rav Huna says no, you had no business translating it. You have it there, it's got to burn. And according to Rav Chista, it's not great that you did that, but it's a bizayon. It's a disgrace for Kitvei HaKodesh if it burns, so you could save it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts, anything I did so far?
What does Rav Huna say if you have a Hebrew-English? You have both. You have English. Yeah. You shouldn't translate it, but you have Hebrew.
Yeah, so there, I presumably he would say that since you have the Hebrew there, I would say to save it. That's what I would say.
In other words, but you could say he shouldn't have done it to be...
Yeah, but in other words, I don't want. In other words, on the Hebrew, he would say definitely I shouldn't let it burn. So the other thing is nigvar. That's what I would say, but that's the way I view it. Okay, any other questions?
One more question. So yeah. I mean, wouldn't it matter who the translation is by? Like, you know, obviously if it's like Christian.
Yeah, no. We're talking about it's Alpi Mesorah. That's whatever translation we're talking about. Alpi Mesorah.
It's art scroll.
Right. You have the art scroll. You have the art scroll Sfarim. That's what we're talking about. Okay. Let's see back in the Gemara. Okay. Now, Okay, now we learned the machloka between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Now we're going to link it back to our Mishnah. So Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, called Kitvei HaKodesh Matzilin Tam Lehadleika, that all the Kitvei HaKodesh is allowed to save from a fire, means all the Sifrei Tanakh. He says, Bein Shekorin Behen, Bein She'ein Korin Behen, whether we read them or we don't read them, and we'll see, the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Even though they're written in any language. So now the Gemara wants to first interpret the Mishnah. I sort of interpreted it a little bit before, but we'll see. He says, "My love, Shekorin Behen Nevi'im." When the Mishnah says Shekorin Behen, it's referring to Nevi'im from the prophets. We know that there's Sifrei Tanakh that are Nevi'im. And the difference between again, you have Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, and the difference between them, I would say, is the amount of Gilui Shechina. In other words, between each one, the Torah is a lot of revealed, and Nevi'im one level, and then Ketuvim also, there's like different levels of Ruach HaKodesh. The way I remember, the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim says there's 10 levels of Ruach HaKodesh. So the Sifra, Sfarim from Ketuvim are written with a lower level of Ruach HaKodesh. Nevuah is greater level. So Navi is greater Kedusha than a Sefer from Ketuvim. And in English, they refer to as prophets and hagiographa. Hagiographa just means, hagio means holy. Grapha just means writing, so it means holy writings, Ketuvim. So if you break down languages, it all becomes very simple. So he says, so it means you have the Pentateuch, the Torah, the prophets, and the hagiographa. So it says in the Gemara, "My love, Shekorin ben Nevi'im." Korin is Nevi'im because Nevi'im we lay in each Shabbat in the Haftorah, and you're allowed. You have a green light to study Nevi'im on Shabbat. V'shein Korin ben Ketuvim. And the ones you don't read are Ketuvim, because we said there was a prohibition. We don't lay in Ketuvim on Shabbat, except we do the Megillahs though before Kriyas HaTorah. We mentioned that, but otherwise there's a proscription from studying Ketuvim. He says, "Afapi Ketuvim b'chol lashon," meaning that we think that even though they're written in any language, what's even though? And even though means he's going down a grade. Even though they're written in other languages, lo nitnu lekrot bahen. In other words, presumably means even though those svarim are written in other languages, i.e., and you shouldn't be studying it because we assume that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. He says b'katani matzilin, and we learn that the Mishnah says I'm allowed to save those svarim. So v'tiyuf to the Rav Huna. So that if that pshat is correct, so Rav Huna is upgeshlacht, right? Rav Huna says that. That I'm not allowed to save the Sfarim if they're written in foreign languages. Again, they're all working within the Shita of the Tana Rav Moshe Gamliel. I'm not allowed to translate it. So from the fact that the Mishnah says Afal P means like they shouldn't be doing it. In other words, something's worse. There's a Dabar Garua that is translated. So we assume the Tana of the Mishnah is like Rav Moshe Gamliel. So Amalach Rav Huna would say to you, V'tispera, does that shot in the Mishnah make sense? The last narrow line, Aim a sefer. Let's do the sefer. Means the next clause in the Mishnah, it says tuunim geniza, that those svarim are taun geniza. Means I put it away when it, in other words, I hide it away. So the Gemara says hashta atzulim mitzalinan geniza miboy. If indeed the Tana of the Mishnah holds that I can save those svarim, certainly when I don't need them, I should put them in geniza. In other words, what is the Tana saying, tunim geniza? In other words, a sefer, any sefer, you know, when I don't need it anymore, I put it in geniza. So like it's like our shemos that we have in the shul. So why would the Tana say tunim geniza? So Ella, and here we have our Ella fern, right? It's like delete Ella. So Ella, the first white line, Rav Huna Mataras Tame, Rav Chista Mataras Tame. So each one is going to have to explain this Mishnah slightly differently than the way we just did it. Now the key element is going to be, which I already said to you earlier, on line 3 of the Mishnah, Afik Shem Uchol Lashon, the key issue is going to be, does that phrase refer to what came before, the books, the svarim that you're allowed to save, even though they're written in any language? Or perhaps that phrase is not related to what came before, so it comes afterwards. It's that, in other words, if they're written in foreign languages, they still, even though I can't save them, they are Tan Geniza. So let's take a look on the second white line. Rav Huna Mataras Tame, Bein Shekorin Behem Nevi'im, in other words, the ones that you read are Nevi'im, as we did already. Bein She'ein Korin Behem Ketuvim, the ones we don't read are the Ketuvim. So far, so good. But Mezmo Murim, Shektuvim B'Lashon HaKodesh. So here it's like the way Rav Huna is doing, it's almost like Chisurim Esther of Ahachi Ketani. It's as if there are words missing in the Mishnah. He says, when am I allowed to save it if it's written B'Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew? Ava B'Chol Lashon Ein Matzilin. But if it's written in any other language, I can't save it. This is the way Rav Huna will understand the Mishnah. He says, so that's Afa Pishivim Chol Lashon. But if they're written in other languages, Vafilu Hachi Geniza Bo, they still require Geniza. So even though I can't save it from the fire, then they don't have that level of Kedusha that I'm going to save it from the fire. This is Rav Huna's pshat in the Mishnah. Nevertheless, I should put it in Geniza in a hidden away. Now, Rav Chista Matar Satame, Rav Chista is going to explain the Mishnah according to his Shita. This is around the sixth wide line. Bein Shekorim Behen Neviim, they all agree with this. If I read it, it's like Neviim or it's Sfarim that I read. Uvein Shein Korim Behen Ketuvim, the ones I don't read are Ketuvim. Af Pi Shetuvim Chol Lashon Nami Matzilin. Even though they're written in any language, I would also save it. So again, that's the turn. That's the switch. It's like the switch on a railroad, you know, like the Afal Pi. So he's doing Afal Pi with the first part of the Mishnah, and Rav Huna did it with the second part of the Mishnah. He says, V'haki kamar, u'mekek shalahem tun and geniza. And here's what he's adding on. Why do we have to teach tun geniza? If I could save it, certainly it's tun geniza. Mekek means when it's like worm-eaten, when it gets worn out. Nevertheless, it's tun geniza. Even though the worms have infested it, it still requires geniza. Okay, so again, I'm just repeating. So we learned two shitot, Rav Huna and Rav Chista. They're working within the sheet of the Tana of Rav Shem Gamliel, who's in the Gemara Masechet Megillah. He holds that you're not allowed to translate Sfarim into other languages, except for a Sefer Torah in Yevanit. That he holds you could do. In Greek he holds, just the Sefer Torah. But Nevi'im Ketuvim not. He says, so within that shita, if there's a fire, am I allowed to save the Sfarim? Since those Sfarim that are in foreign languages were written in violation of Halacha, and to read from, I'm not allowed to even read from and study it. Am I supposed to try to save it on Shabbat? So Rav Huna says, no, absolutely not. You have to let it burn. And Rav Chista says, no, you should save it, even though you can't read from it, but it's a Bizayon Kitvei Kodesh to let it burn. And they each explain the Mishnah. So Af Bishtub Mukul Lashon, Rav Huna will say, even though they're written in foreign languages, I can't save it, nevertheless, they're town Geniza. I should put it into Geniza. If it's not a fire and things like that, I'll put them into Geniza. And Rav Chista will learn, you save it, Af Pishtu Mekul Lashon. You save it, even though it's written in foreign languages, we're going to save it. And then, but the Mekek, once they're worm-eaten, it was so the regular safe, I understand, but the worm-eaten safer, that's town Geniza. All right, let me just do a few more lines, and then I'll pause for some questions, okay? All right. So the Gemara says we're up to 1, 2, 3, 4 around the sixth very wide line on Kuf Tepav 115a around the sixth very wide line.
So Targum Unkelus has a kedusha though, right? Doesn't Targum Unkelus have a special? It's also something from
right. Okay, you're right, it is. But let's just wait. Okay, let me do some Gemara and then I'll come to you. Right. Okay. I prefer to wait for questions when I pause. It's a good question, but let me wait till I go a little bit further, okay? Okay, now, so the Gemara says, Meitvei, we ask a question. Hayu ketuvim targum v'chol lashon matzintam ne'ad leika. So the Braisa says, if the Sfarim were written in targum, or any other language, you save them from the fire. So here it's mefurash, that I have Sfarim that are written in foreign languages, I could say I should save it from the fire. Not good. I should save it from a fire. So Tiyufta de Rav Huna, it's not looking good for Rav Huna. So Amar Lach Rav Huna, Rav Huna say, Hai Tana Sabar Nidin Lekrot Bahen. That Tana holds like the Tana Kama. The Tana Kama says translations are fine. So that Tana holds translations are fine. That Tana holds I could read from the translations. That Tana holds I should save it. In other words, in essence, they're saying that the Sefer has an element of Kedusha to it. That's what they're basically saying. That's why I'm saving it on Shabbat and doing something that otherwise would be a violation of Halacha to maybe even carry it in a place that would be rabbinically prohibited. So that's not a question, because Rav Huna is discussing within the Shita of Rav Moshe ben Gamliel. Okay, let's see, Tashma. So we learn another Braisa. Hayu Ketuvin Gifted. If the Sfarim were written gifted Coptic, it's interesting that the Gemara has Copt. You know, the Copts are a very ancient group of people, and they were one of the first to convert to Christianity. I think, I don't know, maybe the 4th century or something. And they have they have their own monasteries in Egypt. And anyway, so he says here, Ketuvin gifted. If the Sfarim were written gifted, Madit Midian. Ivrit. Now, Ivrit means ancient Hebrew script. In other words, in Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew script that we don't use any longer, he says Elamid or Yavanid or Greek, Af Pishlo Nitnu Likrot Bahen, even though you're not supposed to read it. So we know this Tana holds like Rav Moshe Maleiel, right? So that part's taken care of. Matzilantan Mehad Leika. And so here we have a Braisa. The Braisa clearly goes like Rav Moshe Maleiel, who's not to read from it. And the Braisa also says that we save them from a fire. So Rav Huna's an Amar. He doesn't want to argue with the Braisa. This Braisa clearly is against him. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta the Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, now Rav Huna's Apkishlak. He's history. So the Gemara says, Amalak Rav Huna. Rav Huna would say to you, Tanaihi. Rav Huna says, you're right. That Tana is against me. But this Gufa, this issue that I argue with Rav Chista, is actually a Machloket Tanaim. And I'm going to prove to you now from another Tana that another Tana, basically I agree with this other Tana. There's another Tana who says that we don't save it from the fire. He says, "Tani, we learn in the Braisa, Hayu Ketuvim Targum Uvachol Hashon, if they were written in Aramaic or any language, Masiltam Neyad Leika, so according to the Tana Kava, we save it from a fire." He says, "Rabbi Yossi Omer Ein Masilin Otan." The Tana Rabbi Yossi says, we don't save them, Mibnei Ad Leika. So the Tana Rabbi Yossi says, you don't save these Svarim that are translated because of the fire. So now clearly, the Tana Rabbi Yossi only makes sense within the Shita of Rav Moshe Gamliel, and they're on the same wavelength. And Rabbi Yossi says we don't save them. So now Rav Huna found a Tana that's on his wavelength. So that's what Rav Huna is saying. Now we'll have to clarify. The Gemara is going to ask who is the other Tana, because it's not clear that the Tana Kama is working within Rav Moshe Gamliel. The Tana Kama can be working within the Tana Kama when he says Matzil Tamneid Leika. The Tana Kama could hold that you could translate it. So we only found one side of the Machloket. Tanaihi means we have two adversaries, two disputants. Now the Braisa continues. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, now Rabbi Yossi is the one who says you can't save it from the Dleika. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Ma Seba Abba Chalafta. There was an incident with my father. Now his father's first name was Chalafta, so he calls him Abba Chalafta. Here's an interesting Hara, and they mention this in the art scroll. Like, you're not allowed to call your parents by their first name, but if there's a title, so then there's a tzad of proof from here that you could, that here Rabbi Yossi refers to his father as Abba Chalafta. So, and Rashi brings down, let's see the Rashi of the fourth wide line, Abba Shul Rabbi Yossi Chalafta Shemo. So back in the Gemara. So Shahalach Esau Rabbi Gamliel Berebi, Litveria. So he went to Rabbi Gamliel Berebi. Now, Berebi, sometimes in the Gemara, Bid, like Bid can mean the son of, but here Rashi points out, Berebi can also mean like a gadol ador. So here it's used as a sense of a gadol. And those, I went to Rabbi Gamliel Berebi, the great Rabbi Gamliel. So this is Rabbi Gamliel's Rabbi Gamliel Diavna. Rabbi Gamliel Diavna lived during the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and he convened the Sanhedrin, and Yavne, you know, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the head of the Sanhedrin at the time of the Churban, but then Rabbi Gamliel, he ran the Sanhedrin shortly afterwards. So let's take a look. So he says here, So he says, Shalach Esu Rabbi Gamliel Berebi, Litveria, Titveria, Umitso Shei Yoshevo Shulchano, Shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Anazov, he says on the side, Ubiado Sefer Iov Targum, Hu Korebo. So he encounters Rabbi Gamliel, and it's not necessarily on a Shabbos, and he's reading Sefer Iov in Targum. In other words, an Aramaic translation of Sefer Iov. Iov is the book of Job, and it's in the Ketuvim, and it's in translation. So Amarlo, so he said to him, Rabbi Yossi is relating the incident with his father. So his father said to Rabbi Gamliel, Zechorni b'Rabbi Gamliel Avi Avicha, that I remember with your grandfather, who was Rabbi Gamliel Azakein, his name is Rabbi Gamliel, he says, Shaya Omeid al Gabi Ma'ala B'Har HaBayit, he was standing on a step in the Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount, V'Haviyu L'Fanav Sefer Iyov Targum, they brought to him the same type of Sefer that you're now reading from, the Sefer Iyov in an Aramaic translation, but Amar Labanai, and your grandfather said to the builder, Shakeu Tachan Nidbach, take this safer, put it underneath the bricks. And it was like, let's get rid of it. He says, so Afhu Tzibah Labukunazo. So the Gemara says that that his grandson now, that Rabbi Gamliel Diavna, upon hearing this, he directed that it should be put in Geniza, that the safer should be put in Geniza. He says, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, "A Rebbe Shal Titkafu Alav." He says the incident happened, but it wasn't to be buried under a row of bricks, they had a trough filled with clay and they put it on top of it. So according to that, it's like worse. In other words, you have the pile of clay on it. So they're pouring the clay on the Sefer Eov in Targum, and then the Sefer Eov is getting destroyed. He says, Amar Rebbe, Rebbe says, Shei Tshuva B'Dabar. There are two responses. Now, he's just responding to that last point at the end. In other words, the key element here is that that Rabbi Yossi says that you can't save these Sfarim from the Leica, that Sfarim that have been translated, you can't save it on Shabbat from a fire. But the Gemara is touching up a little bit, like the last story that he mentions about with Rabbi Gamliel Zakein, with somebody bringing a Sefer Eov and Targum, and either directing that it be put under the bricks or having a trough of clay put on top of it. So Amar Rebbe Shtei Tshuva D'Avar. So Rebbe says there are two responses or two rebuttals to that version of the story. He says, Chad b'chitipa harabayit minayin. Did they use clay on the harabayit? And they didn't use clay. Rashi brings down they used sand mixed with lime. And, you know, here they have the clay. It's ready to go, you know, so it's more, doesn't make sense that way. He says, va'od b'chimutar la'abdan biyad. Are you allowed to, like, physically destroy a sefer? In other words, here, by putting, like, the clay on it, he's, like, destroying the sefer. You leave it exposed, and then they get, you know, destroyed on their own. Okay, now let's go back. So again, so we had the machlok between Rav Huna and Rav Chista about whether you're allowed to save Sfarim that have been translated, working within the Shita of the Tana Rabbi Shem Gamliel, who says that you're not allowed to translate it, not allowed to read it, and are you allowed to save it on Shabbos? So Rav Huna says no, and Rav Chista says yes. So then we quoted a brisa that said that you are allowed to save it, and so look bad for Rav Huna. So that was a brisa about if it was written gifted, madid, whatever. So we saw a brisa that definitely says that even though you're not allowed to translate it, you're allowed to save it. So Rav Huna would say there's another Tana who holds like me, and that's the Tana Rabbi Yossi. So Mantanai, turn page, the top line on Kuftet Bavam Beis, Mantanai, so who are the two Tanayim that we said would be on each side of this machloket? Ilema Tana Kama, and it should be Virebi Yossi. See in the left-hand column of Sorot Hashas is Virebi Yossi. If we'll say the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yossi, in other words, we had this Brisa, the Tana Kama said, I save them, the translated Sfarim, and Rabbi Yossi says, no, you got to let them burn. So maybe, so the Tana Kama will hold like Rav Chista, and Rabbi Yossi will be like, or like Rav Huna. Rav Huna will be like Rabbi Yossi. He says, V'dilma b'ha k'miflagi, marsvar ninu l'kropahen, and marsvar lo ninu l'kropahen. So within Rav Huna, that definitely lines up with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that even though you can't read it, presumably you can't, and you're not allowed to save it. That definitely lines up with Rav Huna. But the Tana Kama says you're allowed to save it. So who says maybe he holds Nitnu L'Kropahen? Maybe the Tana Kama holds, like the Chachamim in the Mishnah, Mesechet, Megillah, and Davchet, that you're allowed to translate. And he says you're allowed to save it. So the Gemara says on the third line, Ela Rabbi Yossi B'Tana de Gifted. So the two Tanayim are Rabbi Yossi from this last Brisa. And then the previous Brisa, we quoted a Tana who said that if it was translated into all these languages, even though you're not allowed to do it, you still save it on Shabbat, and that'll be like Rav Chista. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I said up till now? Let me hear from you, Fern, and David, and everybody else.
It's a good question. Are we talking about Sfarim or cloth?
Repeat again. You mean Sfarim not written on cloth?
Right.
Yeah, so I'm not, I can't say with certainty. I mean, usually they would write their Sfarim on cloth, but the Korah, it sounds like even if it's not written on cloth, it's the same thing, right? In other words, you're not allowed to translate it. Yeah.
Whether or not you're allowed to save it.
In other words, you're not allowed to translate it. You're not allowed in terms of saving it from a fire. So you want to say that that's a good ha'ara because Sfarim that are printed, you know, may not have Kedusha. I know Rav Lerner says how the Rav would leave a pile of Sfarim on the floor because he felt that they didn't have any Kedusha to them. So from this Gemara, we'll assume that it's written on cloth. We'll assume in our Gemara they're written on cloth. That's the way I'll go with it. And the other part I would leave up, it was Talui with that, on whether you have any Kedusha with the Sefer if it's printed. So, okay. All right.
Okay, now, and the problem with this would be Hotza'a from saving it?
No. Again, there's two issues with saving. And remember, we're just repeating, remember we said the Chazal say you're not allowed to save things on Shabbos Because Adam Bahula Mamono, a person is like for a tumult with his property, he may come to put out the fire. So that's one din. And then if there's a katzir sheinu revet or mavui that's
a notion to
remove out, so it's prohibited on a rabbinic level, but you're allowed to carry this out to that area. Okay, yeah. David, you had a question. Go.
I had a question about the unklus, the tar of unklus, which is the level of kedusha. I thought it's like comes down to us like almost.
So I'd have to look at the Gemara in Masechet Megillah for this, but you could say that again, Unklus is living during the time of Tanaim, so Unklus could agree with the Tanakhama that you're allowed to translate things to Aramaic. That would be one Hesber, and the other thing would be if whether Unklus wrote it down or not. So he just translating it but not committing it to writing. So then that would be, you know, a whole different piece. But I think the easier way is to say that Unklus holds like the first Shita. All right.
But am I correct that it has a different level of Kedusha than other translations, or was it just stopped?
Clearly, since Chazal teach us that every Shabbos a person should do Shnai Mikra B'Yichad Targum, right. And so clearly Targum Unklus is in a getter all by itself. I think, the Gemara over there has a based on a Pasuk. It says in Daniel, "B'som Seichel, Vayavinu B'Mikra, B'som Seichel." So Chazal teach us that they I think translated into Targum. I need to review the Gemara in Masechet Megillah again. Okay.
And is that Aramaic? What is Unklus?
What? Unklus is Aramaic. Unklus
is Aramaic, right?
Yeah. Again, Unklus is a Western dialect of Aramaic. Aramaic has a lot of different dialects, right? Like the Babli is different than the Yerushalmi. So Unklus is Aramaic, but it's not quite the Aramaic of the Gemara, right? Western dialect. What's up?
No, I was just going to say, in today's day and age, I mean, in Florida, we have some people that are from Russia. And we actually have Siddurim translated into Russian. And I think that's part of being Makar of these people who don't have all the background that, yeshiva background or whatever, they went through the war or whatever the case may be. So, you know, you say you can't translate it, but without these translations, it would be very difficult to have these people.
Okay. I'll talk about Halach Lamaisa today, hopefully before the end of the Shiur, and we'll come to that, okay? All right. Okay, please mute yourself again, Arthur. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. Everybody mute themselves. Okay, now, so I'm at the fourth line on Kuf Tet Vav Amud Beis, the fourth line, Tana Rabbanan. So we're continuing with what Sfarim am I allowed to save from a fire? So we spoke about Sifrei Tanakh, and they have a certain Kedusha. So now the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, HaBrachot VaKamein. Now, Brachot are, again, originally the Tefillah were not supposed to be written down. That's also part of the Torah Sheval Peh. So Rashi says the Brachot are like the Brachot for Shemona Esrei. And he says, Sha'ar Brachot. The person wrote them down. So Tan Rabbanan, HaBrachot VaKamein, an amulet has certain psukim in it. So he says, Afal Pi Sheishban Otiot Shel Shem, even though they have the Shem Hashem in it, he says, Uminyanot HaRbei Shebetorah, and different psukim from the Torah, he says, "Ein masilim neadleika ilan nisrafim b'mekoman ein va'az kroteyan." That doesn't have kedusha, and you let it burn b'mekoman. Mikan amru kotfei brachot. So from here, Chazal teach us that if a person would write down the brachot, he says, "Kisorfei Torah." They're like burning Torah. In other words, because if Lu Yetzur, let's say I write it all down, and then Rachman al Asan, there's a fire, so then that has to be burned. So it's like you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. Now, Ma'asebechad, this is the Bryce still continuing. Ma'asebechad shekotei bet Sidon. It was an incident with one person writing in Sidon. Again, Sidon is in Lebanon now, where Hezbollah is, but Bizman Chazal, you know, they see incidents where they have in Sidon. So Ma'asebechad shekotei bet Sidon. So he was writing the brachot in Sidon. They told Rabbi Shmuel, there's somebody here in Sidon who's writing the brachot down. Balak Rabbi Shmuel Lebodko. Rabbi Shmuel went to investigate. What's this fellow doing? Is he writing down the brachot? He says, Shehaya Ola Besulam, as Rabbi Shmuel is ascending the ladder to go to this person's, I don't know, house or what room, here Gishbo. So the person sensed, oh, and Rabbi Shmuel is coming. He says, Natal Tumas Shel Brachot. He took a packet of the brachot, Vishakan B'Sefer Shomayim. He put it in the water. In other words, it's like a drug bust, you know, like flushing the drugs down the toilet, Rachman al-Islam, like the Havdil. So he wants to destroy the evidence so Rabbi Shmuel doesn't like grab him, you know, with all the red-handed. So he says, Uvlashona Zamarlo, so Rabbi Shmuel said to him in this language, Uvlashona Zamarlo Rabbi Shmuel, Gedol Onesh Achron Min Arishon. He says, he knew what he did. He says, your second aver was worse than the first aver. Writing it down was terrible. But then putting it in the seifel of water, that's even worse. Now you're like mochek the Shem Hashem. So that's not it. Okay. So again, so we're seeing that the heter to save the Kitvei HaKodesh does not apply to the brachot and the kameyan, to the brachot and the kameyan. Now we'll see halakha l'maisa. Today it's a little bit different. One second. All right. Well, at the end of the sugya, I'll try to go over it. Okay. But the halakha l'maisa today is a little bit different. Let me see where he has it here. One second. 1 minute. Yeah. So if you look in footnote 8 in the art scroll, in the second half, the rabbi, he says, consequently, nowadays, all Torah works, including Talmud, commentaries, and Sidurim, may be saved from fire, and whether this extends to amulets or not, which do not aid the study of Torah, is subject of dispute. So today, you could save all the Sfarim, that even if it's Torah Shebaal Peh. And I'll talk about translations today as well. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Okay, so I'm around 15 lines down on Kuftet Bavam Beis. The first word line is Bamine. So Bamine, Reish Galuta Me Rabba Bar Avuna. Did anybody want to say anything that was up till now? Anybody want questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? Okay, so I'm going to move on. Now, Baimine Reish Galuta Me Rabba Bar Avuna. The Reish Galuta posed the following question: Rabba Bar Avuna. Now, the Gemara gets into the issue, what if the Sifrei Tanakh are not written in black ink? They should be written in black ink. Let's say they're not written in black ink. So do I still have the same heter or the same obligation to save them? So the Gemara says, so Hayuktuvim B'Sam, if they're written Sam, is like the red ink. Right, like the I'm sorry, but Samu Basikra. So Sam is the one second. He says, what paint? Yeah. Sam is just a paint, but Sikra is the red pigment. Basamu Basikra, Bakumus Bakankantum. Anyway, it's written with these. He says with gum. He says with ferrous sulfate. He says Blashona Kodesh Masilin Sam Neadleika Oei Masilin. So let's say it is written in Lashon Kodesh. So I have the Hebrew lined up, and I have the Sefer, and everybody agrees I can save the Sefer if it's written in Hebrew, but it was written in the wrong ink. It's written in red ink, you know. So I'm allowed to, does it, in essence, does in each, the question is, does it have the Kedushat Sefer that obligates me to save it or permits me to save it on Shabbos? So let's take a look. So Tibay Laman Damar Matzilin, Tibay Laman Damar Ein Matzilin. It's going to be a kasha whether you follow Rav Huna or Rav Chista. He says, Tibay Laman Damar Ein Matzilin. It's going to be a kasha to hold. Rav Huna says that all the Sfarim that are in translation, I can't save. He says, Hani Milei Hani Hecha Dechtibi Targum of Chol Lashon. It's only when it's written in Targum, in Aramaic translation, or any other language. Here it's written Lashon Kodesh, so he would say, perhaps you have a green light, go save it. He says, Odilma Pilumot Mar Matzilin, or perhaps I could do it the other way around. Even the opinion that holds that normally I could save Sfarim, even though they're written illicitly in a foreign language, he says, Hani Milan Hecha Dechtivi B'Dio, the Mekayim, that's only written when it's written B'Dio with black ink, that lasts. Abalhacha came to Mekayim low. Here it's not going to last long, not. So anyway, that's the question that the Reish Galuta asked Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So Amalei in Matzilin. So Rabba Rav Huna says, no, you're not allowed to save it if it's written with the wrong ink. So he says, so then the Makshin, which is the Reish Galuta, he's going to quote a Braisa. I don't know, frequently in the Gemara, like it works like this. They ask the question, and the person either doesn't know the answer or he gives an answer, and then he springs like the whole thing. So he says here, Rav Hamnuna taught a Braisa that says you could be matzil it. So he says, Amar Lehi, Tanya Tanya. If there's a brisa that way, then that's it. So they said in the Arsko that he might have wanted to, thought maybe he would be mechalek with this brisa, or maybe since the brisa is not such an authoritative brisa, wasn't taught from the base mentor of Chiroshia. So that's the way that goes. Okay, now my Tanya. So the Gemara says, where's this brisa? In other words, where's the brisa that says when it's not written in the right ink that I'm allowed to save it from the fire? So Amar Ravashi Kidatanis. Ravashi says it's like the brisa that we learn, Ein Bein Sfarim the Megillah. There's no difference between Sfarim and a Megillah. So So it means like all the Sifrei Tanakh and Megillas Esther. Elisha Sfarim Nichtavim Mechol Lashon. Sfarim can be written in any language, obviously going like the Tanakama in that Mishnah. He says, Umegillah but Megillah has to be written in Ashurit on a sefer, it means on the cloth, uvidyo, in black ink. So we see that other Sfarim don't have to be, you know, even if they're not written in Dio, still at least have enough Kedusha that you're allowed to save from the fire. So let's look at the Rashi on that. It's around the higher than where we are, around the 20th narrow line from the top. Right, they can be written with it, but it means, and presumably you're allowed to save it on Shabbos. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, I'll move on. Let's do it. Now, so around 10 lines above where it gets wide on Kuftet Vavim Beis. I don't remember this name elsewhere in Shas, not to say that's conclusive, but I don't remember ever seeing Rav Huna Bar Chaluv elsewhere. And indeed, Rashi says here, where's Chaluv? Rashi brings down Chaluv. Where is it? One second. Yeah, Bar Chaluv Shem Adam. Rashi says the name of a person. So certainly it's not something that you normally see around, that he has to explain that. So, Baimine Rav Huna Bar Chaluv Me Rav Nachman, Sefer Torah She'im Bo L'Lakeit Shmona V'Chmesh Otiot. Let's say I have a Sefer Torah, but all the letters in the Sefer Torah have been ruined, and I don't even have 85 letters. And we'll see what the significance of 85 letters are. He says, Kigon Parshat Vayhi Ben So Aharon. So in the Parsha of Vayhi Ben So Aharon, which is in Parshat Bahalotcha, so in the middle of Parshat Bahalotcha, everybody knows this, right? Or you've seen it. There's these two psukim, and what's different about them in the Sefer Torah? Who wants to say? Let me hear from you, Fern. What do you got?
They have the two nuns around them.
Yeah, but how are the nuns written?
Facing each other or away from each other.
They're flipped over. Now, I've told you, remember, you did this in the Chumash class. The way it's printed in a Chumash is not the way they are in a Sefer Torah. In a Chumash, they do it inverted and upside down, but that's not the way it is in a Sefer Torah. In other words, because the only way that the printers can print it is to flip it upside down. In other words, like they could print a nun this way and they could print a nun upside down, then it faces the other way. So that's the way they print it, but that's not the way it is in the Sefer Torah. In the Sefer Torah, it's written reverse. It's a reverse nun. So the nun is like just the opposite. So anyway, so we'll see in the Gemara. So that's clearly set off. So
been a while since I leaned from a Sefer Torah.
Okay, but not so long since you chazed the Parsha with me though. Anyway, let's put the mute on. Okay, thank you. Now, so in the Parsha of Vayhi Ben So Aharon, there are 85 letters, and we'll see there's a significance to the Parsha. It's two psukim, Vayhi Ben So Aharon Vayom Moshe, this is the Vnucho Yomar. So he says, so it's back in the Gemara. He says, so if I have a Sefer Torah that doesn't even have 85 kosher letters in the whole Sefer, and 85 kosher letters would be equal by the Parsha Vayhi Ben So Aharon, my Sinotab Mnead Lake, away my Sinot, am I allowed to save it from the fire or not? In other words, does it have enough Kedushat Sefer that I'm allowed to, you know, carry on a Rabbanan level to the Chatzar Lamabui? So he says, so that's the question that Rav Huna Bar Chaluv asked Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, Amar Lei, B'tibay Lach Parshat Vayhi Ben So Aharon Gufa. So the Gemara says, why are you asking me this question about 85 letters here then? Why don't you just ask me, let's say you have a parchment, and the parchment just has those two psukim written on it, and missing one letter. Let's say the parchment has the Parsha of Vayhi Ben So Aharon on it, and it's missing one letter is ruined. So are you allowed to save it from the Dleika? So the Gemara says, "Hey, the chaser parsha by even so lo kamabayli." That I don't have a question about. This is what Rav Huna Bar Chalup says. The kamen de itba has karod afkab leit be shmonim v'chamesh otiot matzilin, because there's the Shem Hashem there. By even so ron kuma Hashem yudke vavke and the shuva Hashem yudke vavke. So if it's got the Shem Hashem vadai, then I have to save it. He says, "Ki kamabayli sefer Torah she'ein bo lakate my." But let's say you have a whole sefer Torah. Every letter is ruined in the whole Sefer Torah. I don't have one Shem Hashem that's in good shape with it, but I don't even have 85 letters left. So what's the halacha? So Amarle ain matzilim. So he says no. In Achinami, that Sefer Torah, its kedusha is not high enough. Now every Sefer you have to put into Geniza. You know, if Rachman and Son, you'd have a Sefer Torah like that. There's a way to respectfully, you know, bury it. But in terms of this din matzilim and dead leika, it doesn't have enough kedusha to permit you to save it from the fire. If that's the way he's answering, so the Gemara says Eitve. So now he asked a question. Rav Huna Bar Chalup challenged Rav Nachman from the following brisa. This is Targum Shektov Mikra. Let's say I have portions of Tanakh that are written in Targum, in Aramaic, that he writes in Hebrew. Umikra Shektov Targum, or it was written in Hebrew and he translates it to Targum. Uktav Ivrit, or in Ktav Ivrit, in other words, he changes it from, it's written in the ancient Hebrew script. He says, Matzilin Le'ad Leika, so notwithstanding that I would save it from a fire, Ba'in Sirich Lomar, Targum Sheba Ezra Vesha Daniel, Vesheba Torah. And it goes without saying, the Targum that's in Sefer Ezra and Daniel, and the Torah, that you would save it. So here, so the Bryce is saying that the Targum and the Torah I have to save. So the Gemara says, Targum Shabbat Torah Maini. What's the Targum in the Torah? So the Gemara says, Yigar Sahaduta. So there's two words, Yigar Sahaduta. Who remembers where this comes up in Chumash? What do you got for me, Fern? I can't hear you.
Somebody's name. Someone called Embrashid, I think. Yigar
That's
Sahaduta.
True. All right, anybody remember better?
With Rivka and Lavana.
Right. That's correct. So he says, right, by Yikra lo Lavan Yigar Sahaduta. So in Parshas, at the end of Parshas Vayetzei, so Lavan chases Yaakov, and anyway, they work out their agreement, and then they build this pile of stones.
Yes, Gal Ed.
So Lavan calls it Yigar Sahaduta, Yaakov Karalo Gal Ed. So, you know, I tell you, this when I was 15, they had a chidon at Camp Morasha, and this was the question I had, and I didn't get it right. I should say other people got it. In other words, like, we had to, you know, whatever, come in. We're in Chumash. Is there Aramaic? I didn't know.
Damachan, it was called.
It was 100% correct. Anyway, so let's see back in the Gemara. So he says here, my new Yigar Sahaduta. So the Gemara says, "Va'afalgav leipa shmonim v'chamesh otiyot." So here, the Braisa, the way we understand it, is if I have just the words Yigar Sahaduta written, I save it from a fire. And even though there's not 85 letters, the Yigar Sahaduta is much less than that. Kitanihi lahashlim. So the Gemara says, no, the Braisa means I have a Sefer Torah, and I have, let's say, you know, 80 letters other than Yigar Sahaduta, or Yigar Sahaduta is 1, 2, 3. What is it? How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, so I have, let's say, I have 76 letters elsewhere, and now I have these 9 letters. So even though they're written in Aramaic, they're mitztaref with the other 76 letters to add up to the 85 letters. Okay, now Yibailahu. The question was asked in the Beis Medrash. The 85 letters, do they have to be all in one place? Like I have contiguous 85 letters, then it has the Kedusha? Or I have a letter here, a letter there, a letter all over the place, it's spread all over. And again, it doesn't mean that I could lane from the Sefer Torah. It just means the Sefer Torah has a residual amount of Kedusha where I'm entitled to save it from the lake on Shabbat and carry it to Mabui that doesn't have a Shituvim Mabuot. So he says, Rav Huna Amar Mechuna Sod. Rav Huna says, stricter, it has to be Mechuna Sod. All the letters have to be together in order to have this residual Kedusha. Rav Chista Amar Afilu Mufuza Rod. Rav Chista says, no, it could be all, you know, Freshpreit, all over the place. It's Nishka Ferlach. So in this, we ask a question against Rav Huna. The Braisa says, Sefer Torah Shabala, if a Sefer Torah wore out, he says, Im Yeshbo Lelaket Shmonim V'Chamesh Otiot, if there's enough in it where I can collect, and collect seems to be, it's spread all over the place. 85 letters can go in Parshat Vayibin So'aron, like the equivalent of Parshat Vayibin So'aron, Matzilin, that I could save it from the fire, Vim La, Vim Matzilin, otherwise not. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta the Rav Huna. So Rav Huna's not looking good. Rav Huna says it has to be Mechunasim, it has to be one place. And here it says Lelakate. Lelakate applies, it's spread all over the place. So Tiri Gemara Rav Chista Libid Rav Huna. So Rav Chista is the bar Palukta with Rav Huna, but notwithstanding that, it's like a Bai V'Rava. So sometimes the Gemara says, Tir Gemara Abaya Libid Rava. Some of the Abaya will answer Rava's question. So for like intellectual honesty, Rav Chista is answering for Rav Huna. He says, B'tevot. It could be that the Bryce is talking about with words. In other words, if there's a whole word, I have a word here, word there. So Rav Huna Rav Huna says it has to be Mechunasot, because if it's spread all over the place, it has nothing. But if there are words together, then Rav Huna holds that is it. So if I have a teva here I have a five-letter word, here I have a seven-letter word, here I have an eight-letter word, there Rav Huna will agree that I could be mitzarif, that I could be gathered all together. Okay, let me just do a few more lines, then I want to talk some things to you. And now, Tanur Banan, but even so, on this I'll continue on with tomorrow with this. Tanur Banan, but even so, Haron, by Moshe, Parshazu, Asala, Kashbarku, Simanim, Minamalamata, that a Kashbarku made Simanim in by even so, Haron. So normally we think it's the upside, the reverse nuns. It's not Mukhrach that is the reverse nuns, but because the Gemara only mentions Simaniot. I'll talk plain edited more about it tomorrow. So Lomar, the top line on Kufta Zaymanov, Lomar She'ein Zemakoma. The Simaniot say that doesn't belong here. In other words, Vayibin Sauron belongs in Parshat Bamidbar. In Parshat Bamidbar, it talks about the Degalim and how the encampment and how they would travel, and then when the Aaron would travel. So Vayibin Sauron, that should be over there in Parshat Bamidbar. So it doesn't belong here. And we'll see why it is here. So he says, Rebbe Omer, lo min hashem huze. He says, that's not why it's got the simaniot. Ela, b'nei she-sefer chashuv hu b'fnei atzmo. It itself constitutes a sefer chashuv. It's an important sefer. It's an independent sefer. He says, k'man azla demar shmu bar nachmani, he corrects inside, amar Rabbi Yonatan, anyway, I'll do this more tomorrow. In other words, it's a memory of Chazal that there are seven Sifrei Torah, because in Bamidbar counts as three. You have this part of Bamidbar before Vayibin Sauron, then you have after Vayibin Sauron, you have Vayibin Sauron. Okay, let me just do a little piece on this, and then I just want to talk some things over with you. So this is from the Aladat by Rabbi Zev Dikstein. So we went through the Gemara. Now in Mishnaic times, it was prohibited to write Torah Shabbal Peh, because it was supposed to be transmitted orally. And Devar Shabbal Peh, Yata Rashi L'Omra B'Chtav. So the Gemara in Gittin learns that things that are orally, to be orally transmitted, you're not allowed to commit it to writing. If one had a book of Torah Shabbal Peh in his house, according to Rav Huna, he's prohibited for saving it from a fire on Shabbos, since it's a forbidden book. The Gemara in Gittin on Taf Samach says the later generations were granted permission to write Torah Shabbal Peh because the sages were concerned that it would be entirely forgotten. Eight Lasol Hashem Eferu Torah Techa. The Rambam says that this permission was granted during the period of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, which time he compiled the Mishnayot. Tosfos says, this Tosfos was an Amud Aleph. Tosfos says that today one may rescue all Sfarim, not just Tanakh, from fire on Shabbos, because today we are permitted to write Torah Shabbal Peh. This is assuming that the printed books have some Kedusha, okay? That would be Talui. Do our printed published books have any Kedusha in them? So, assuming that they do, I within the Rav sheet, I don't know if you would be allowed to save it. So he says, since the Rush adds that the same dispensation was given to translate the Tanakh into foreign languages. Since many people do not understand Lashon HaKodesh, it's permitted to translate Torah into other languages to enable the mass to study Torah. In other words, the Rush is saying whatever was true, in the time of the Tanaim about translating or not translating, in other words, like between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakhama, but the Rush says today it's different. He says, therefore, rules the Rush, one may save books of Tanakh from a fire, even if they're written in foreign languages. The Ravid indicates that one who lacks proficiency in Lashon HaKodesh is permitted to study Torah in other languages. One who is knowledgeable in Lashon HaKodesh should not study Torah in a foreign language. So this is the Ravid wants to say, if you know Hebrew, you should study Torah in Hebrew. It's an interesting issue because, what language was the Torah studied in? In other words, we know, in Europe, in the Eastern Europe, they would study in Yiddish. Let's say in the time of Rashi. So what language did they study the Gemara in? like I heard one Rav when I was in high school mention this, like Rashi mentions all these milim loazot, like from the French, right, Olivia? But so what language were they studying Gemara in Rashi's time? So anyway, so he says here, if you know Lashon Kodesh, so you shouldn't study in a foreign language. The Mishnah explains that the Ravid is only referring to Torah Shebichtav. Torah Shebalpeh, a foreign language, is permitted even for one who is proficient in Lashon Kodesh. Okay, who's got any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I said today? All right, let me stop the recording. One second. Now,